Best Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Murray. On today's show, reserves may keep interest rates the same and provinces have lost billions to national treasury and unspent funds meant for infrastructure development. The economist Walter Krichel talks about reviewed government spending. In international news, a full-on trade war has started between the US and China. In investment news, Cash Build targets higher income markets segment. And we also chat with an advisor of Premier Alan Windey, Alvy Lester, about the Western Cape Government's Energy Resilience Program.
A look now at local business news.
With the recession in the United States looming, economists anticipate some drastic interest rate cuts to follow later in the year. However, they predict that the South African Reserve Bank will likely remain cautious and keep local interest rates high until the global environment stabilizes. This comes after the bank's Monetary Policy Committee decided to keep rates unchanged in March amid global uncertainty. However, economists say this approach is also due to domestic price pressures and the debate over a lower inflation target. The Reserve Bank wants to bring the inflation rate below the midpoint target band of 4.5%. Something that's currently dominating economic news locally and globally is US President Donald Trump's tariffs on imports into the US from various countries. What does this mean for South Africa, and is there a possibility that some of our products could be exempt from these tariffs? Chris Hunting from the Center for Risk Analysis explains.
The new universal and reciprocal tariffs announced last week by US President Donald Trump are still at various stages of implementation. So the sectors that would be most impacted, assuming that the tariffs remain as they are, those sectors would be number one, agriculture, where South Africa exports quite a lot of citrus and wine to the US. If the US imposes the 30% tariff that they promised to impose on South African imports to the US, citrus and wine products and exports would be the most effective. Next would be automotive, although there is talk in a second list published by the White House of exemptions in terms of autos and auto parts, so that some of those goods would not be subjected to the reciprocal tariff. And if so, it would be a good thing for South Africa.
And provinces have lost more than 12 billion rand to national treasury in unspent funds over the past five financial years. This is according to the Auditor General. The underspent allocations are mainly meant for infrastructure across almost all departments. This means that infrastructure in the country is constantly deteriorating. We now have the President of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Walter Krichel, on the line with us. Walter, you're of the opinion that South Africa can take some pointers from Argentina with regards to government spending policies. Can you elaborate?
I must first say that I know just as much about what's happening in Argentina and could easily miss a side of the story. So I don't want to present their reform process under President Milei as the only solution. But I wonder if there are interesting pointers for us. Milei's presidency covers many aspects, from cutting government spending to economic stabilization to deregulation. Some of the things that he did in the first year includes reducing the number of ministers from 18 to 8, firing about 37,000 civil servants, and eliminating 100 secretariats. In terms of deregulation, they look at prices. If something is much more expensive in Argentina than in the rest of the world, the difference might be the result of regulation, and deregulation could bring prices down. After rent control in Buenos Aires was removed, rent prices decreased by 30%. They allowed Starlink, and the cost of internet access in rural areas fell by 90%. Over-the-counter medication no longer needs to be sold only in pharmacies, and prices have decreased. The removal of import licenses caused clothing prices to fall by 20% and household goods by 35%. There's a long list of examples, and it makes one think. South Africa is not exactly in the same position as Argentina was, but how much room do we have for deregulation? What are all the rules and regulations that make doing business expensive, benefiting existing companies and workers who already have jobs? Let's stop asking how we can make the state more effective and think about where the state's spending, taxation, and regulation are actually necessary.
Thanks very much, Professor Walter Krichel, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an economics associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Prof. Krichel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM.
Time now to take a look at your international business news.
The US President Donald Trump's controversial and explosive tariffs on 60 countries came into effect today. This includes 104% duties on goods from China, which is deemed the world's biggest exporter. These additional tariffs on China kicked in after the Chinese government refused to meet Trump's deadline to withdraw its own retaliatory levies on the US. Trump says these tariffs, which are taxed on goods bought from other countries, will boost the US economy. Economists, however, warn that it could push prices up for consumers.
Coming up next, our investment segment delves into the world of finance and wealth building.
South Africa's largest building materials supplier, Cashbuild, will acquire a 60% interest in the group All Build Co. Holdings that owns three hardware stores in Pretoria and Limpopo. The company seeks a foothold in the top living standards measure segment. Cashbuild has a market capitalization of 3.7 billion rand and has traditionally been geared towards the lower end of the market. The company says the proposed deal, worth 93 million rand, is aligned with its strategy to become a market leader in the hardware and building material sector in South Africa, across all LSM segments. The remaining 40% of All Build Co. Holdings will be held by the sellers and original owners and management of the three stores. Before we say goodbye, we chat with the advisor of Premier Alan Windey, Olvi Lester, about the Western Cape government's energy resilience program. Olvi, have we done enough to say we are now insulated and protected from load shedding, even though load shedding has been significantly less the last year?
So I think firstly, we're very happy that Eskom has managed to keep the energy availability factor at a reasonable level. I do want to say it's still not acceptable. It's much better than it was in the past. We're thankful that we don't have load shedding. But again, you know, we had similar windows in the past where we went for 5-6 years with no load shedding. And then we saw load shedding come back with such a vengeance that, you know, the economy just struggled to cope. I think for us to say that we've insulated ourselves against load shedding, I would want to suggest that you have to have close to 80% of your load that is not dependent on Eskom. And the 20% you can manage. And we're not at that point.
What still needs to be done?
We believe that we would get to that 80% of own generation or private generation in the province. We think we'll likely get there by about 2032. So our work continues despite the load shedding reprieve that we have. Like I say, our drive is to also make sure that we're able to secure a decarbonized, affordable and a sustainable energy source going forward. And load shedding really fits into the first objective, which is to manage, you know, an energy-related disaster.
How can people know more about the Energy Resilience Program?
So there are a couple of options that people can actually look at in terms of trying to get a view of what we're doing. The one is through our website, and that is www.westerncape.gov.za/110green. And on there, you will find lots of information about our program, our projects, our status, etc., in terms of the program that we're running. The other thing that we're going to be launching probably within the next few weeks is that we're going to be launching two dashboards. One will be a public-facing dashboard, where again, through our website or through our app, citizens are able to actually access the dashboard. And depending on which town or which municipality you're in, you can actually see what projects are being rolled out in your municipality or in your town, how far we are, what sort of budgets have we set aside, etc., for energy projects. And then the second one would be an internal dashboard, which is really looking at our stakeholders and providing them with an online update around the programs that we're running. So those will be predominantly the sources that we use. In the past, we've used sort of weekly digicons to keep people informed around what's happening in the province around energy and what our program looks like.
And that was an advisor of Premier Alan Windey, Olvi Lester. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on Biz Scoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of Biz Scoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.